switch.
Where are they going?
Goodbye.
And what's coming back?
I'd package up all seven ruckmen and ship them off.
Tradies, it's time to cut the cord with the new 18-volt bi-turbo brushless range from Bosch. And up to 2,000 watts of corded equivalent power. This is Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker Podcast with Daisy Thomas and Jay Clark.
Yes, welcome to Triple M Footy's AFL Trade Tracker. And there is only 2 days remaining, Tuesday and Wednesday, before the deadline to, well, a very interesting AFL trade period. I'm Jay Clark, and I'm with the one, the only, the former superstar from Carlton and Collingwood, Dale Thomas. How are you, Daisy?
I'm going all right, thank you, Jay-Z. And what an interesting day it has been. I think we're going to kick off with the Hawks, of course. And, mate, I don't know what's going on down there, but it seems like they're trying to get some sort of fire sale going, and it's just not eventuating.
That's a very good call, Daisy. So to take you through it, GWS made a last-minute bid for Chad Wingard, the star goal kicker, can play midfield forward. But as of Monday morning, Wingard, through his manager, Tom Petroro at TLA, said that he would not be heading north. Of course, he did not want to shift interstate again. It would be a third AFL club. So he reaffirmed his commitment to the brown and gold, which has appeased Hawthorn fans, it must be said, on social media and the like. But it does leave the Hawks Chiefs in a pickle, Daisy, because let's be honest, under Sam Mitchell, a new coach for next year, they are keen on a new era, a fresh start, a regeneration of this list, and they need another top pick. And if Wingard is staying at Waverley, that leaves, of course, Tom Mitchell, Jagger O'Meara, particularly Jack Gunston. But with only 2 days to go before Wednesday night's trade deadline, it must be said, Daisy, that it looks like none of these senior star players are going to move.
Well, it looks like there hasn't been a great deal of interest. Obviously, Wingard got the most interest from GWS, but he was pretty adamant. He came out on his social medias and put the great clip up from the Wolf of Wall Street of I Ain't Leaving. He was adamant. He was out there first thing this morning. And even just the way it's been reported on some of the circles that Sam Mitchell is actually picking up the phone and trying to drum up interest for the likes of O'Meara and Mitchell. So, you know, as a player who's been in football clubs, as you do get older, the insecurities don't leave you, even if you are a star of the game. If you get shopped around, the dent to your pride, things like that, it starts to get really messy. And, you know, as a new coach coming in, you'd like it, and I would assume under the circumstances of which the handover went as well, you'd want it to be going as smoothly as possible. And at the minute, to quote the great Brian Taylor, boy, oh boy, wowee, it's a bit of a mess.
They'd love to bolster that draft hand, of course, but it's difficult to see how that will happen, of course. A Port Adelaide reported to be interested in Jagger O'Meara. Speaking with the Power Chiefs, they have had no serious talks about him whatsoever. So it'll be a watch this space over the final 2 days. Now, Patrick Lipinski, a keen on this man. He's gone from the Western Bulldogs, where he couldn't get a game, to the mighty Collingwood Football Club, where he'll join that midfield. And you must say, Daisy, it looks like he could play 20 games for the Magpies in 2022.
Yeah, really good get for the Pies. They've given up literally nothing. Pick 43 to get a player of Lipinski's class. Obviously, he wanted some opportunity. The Dogs had tabled a three-year deal for him. He only played the 11 games this season, only two of those coming after the bye. So 56 games over 5 years. From what I've seen of him in my time in the game and then out of it now as a commentator, taking a closer look and getting better looks at the Bulldogs, I really like the kid. I like the way he uses the ball. He runs to good places. He can play forward and mid. And now, as you said, you chuck him in that group. Obviously, Dugowie's the star in there. The Brown brothers, Ginnivan, Dacos, plus the new Dacos with him coming in. Poulter, Ollie Henry. It's not just midfield. It's midfield forward depth that the Pies now have. They've also got the experienced heads there of Saidi Pendles, Taylor Adams. That's some serious depth in that forward line, that midfield. So it's going to be fantastic. And as I said, they've given up absolutely nothing to get him.
Yeah, smart business there. You should be excited about Nick Dacos. Nick Dacos, Collingwood fan, certainly recruiters saying he is the equivalent of Sam Walsh, and we've seen that he has quickly morphed or merged into a Brownlow medal contender. So Nick Dacos, you'd think he's going to have a sensational season, potential rising star favourite for next year. Now we move on to Rory Lobb, and this is fair to say it has fallen over, Daisy. So the Fremantle Ruckman key forward, of course, it was keen on a move to GWS, but with the Giants wanting the Dockers to pay up to $200,000 of his salary, it has fallen over. And it looks like Rory Lobb has to go back to the Dockers, it seems, with his tail between his legs, which is a bit awkward.
It is a bit awkward, especially after you've requested a trade from one club to get over to Fremantle. They did pay a fair amount for him too. We've seen what he can do, but we just want more consistency, I think, as an industry for Rory Lobb. For him to start demanding these things, I would imagine that Freo would be pretty frustrated and disappointed with the way that it's been handled. And obviously then for the GWS Giants, well, they're not going to cough up all of the cash. So it's, again, another player who's requested a trade. And as you said so beautifully, he's going back to training, back to preseason with the tail. We assume there is still 2 days to go, but as it stands, with his tail firmly between his legs.
Now, at Essendon, it's fair to say that the Bobby Hill trade request has come right out of the blue. They were very keen to have a strong hand at this year's draft, but at the week after the grand final, after Melbourne won its premiership, the Bombers did receive a text message from Bobby Hill to say that he wanted to play in red and black next season. Over the past couple of weeks, that has progressed. Now, he's contracted for next year, Daisy, and I must admit, the Giants are going to play hardball on this one. Without a replacement, without Wingard coming in for Bobby Hill, this feels like a bit of a Tim Kelly situation to me, because remember the Cats held Tim Kelly against his wishes. He had a contract of 2019. The Cats held him and it took a year for him to get the West Coast. I'm starting to feel like GWS are going to do a similar thing with Bobby Hill, because he's played 30 games. He's averaging nearly a goal a game, only 9 possessions a game this year. So he's electric but a little bit inconsistent. We know that happens with the young players, but it's fair to say the Giants don't want to lose him. And at this stage, are happy to keep him to his contract. Would you disappoint the Essendon fans who would love another speedy small forward in that forward half?
Yeah, he'd be a great get for the Bombers if he could land there. Obviously, there's the other factors as well, him stating family reasons. His partner is pregnant, we believe, at this stage. And he also wants to come back and move in with his cousin. That's Brad Hill of St Kilda. So there is some other external reasons as to why he wants to go, whether or not GWS release him a bit easier because of those factors, because the last thing you'd want to do is keep a player against his will. But then these off-field things that we so often see when they're not going right for players, you're probably in their best interest to move them on for your own club's sake and for the player's sake. So again, though, you don't want to be giving him up for absolutely nothing. They have invested some time into him. We've seen what he can do. If they could turn him into a 30, 40 goal player, he would be an absolute star of the competition with the skill set that he possesses.
Speaking of stars of the competition, Tyson Stengel has shown a fair bit in his brief stint at Richmond and Adelaide. He was fantastic in that Sandford Grand Final, won a premiership for Woodville. West Torrens has some tricks, gone off the rails off the field at times, which happens to the best of us, Daisy. It's fair to say, but looks like the Cats are going to be the landing spot for him. He has requested a trade or a move to Geelong. They'll get him as cheap as chips as a delisted free agent. It's a third chance for Tyson Stengel, but you think in a Geelong team which is looking to stay in that premiership window, this is a pretty exciting addition.
It certainly is, and obviously with the acquisition of Eddie Betts down there as a development manager, Stengel and Eddie, fantastic mates. Eddie was his mentor over there in Adelaide. So, you know, players, as we've said, from time to time, they bugger up, but it's great to see what looks like getting a third opportunity at AFL level, because more often than not, you get one opportunity, you just let it slip, you may get a second. Very rarely do you find players getting third opportunities. And the Cats, they just have a knack for turning players around too. They've got the great system down there, the old wise hairs. I don't know if it's the coastal sort of vibe, the air down there, the salt water. If you stay down there for too long, you end up cooking your chook. Just ask Billy Brownless. But in this case, I think he could be a fantastic addition to that small forward line. Obviously, that's what we talk about the Cats. We talk about all their old players, slow-ish, without the fast and quickness. Brian Myers down there. So I think if he can get it right. As I said, with Eddie Betts, easy get. That's a no-brainer.
Got to be some electricity in that forward half. Already such a potent forward line with Cameron and Hawkins. It'll just be interesting to see, what does it mean for Sean Higgins? Is he in their best 22? Isaac Smith was very good. You'd think he'd be lining up on a wing, and Mitch Duncan. It is a stacked Geelong side. Will be interesting to see who gets a game and who doesn't. Hey, what did you think? Comments from Mickey Gibbons from Carlton, your former teammate, said he didn't feel a lot of love at the Blues. You know, was disappointed that he got the lemon and sauce and not offered a new contract for next season. Said he wanted more midfield time. That's what they got him from the VFL. He was a star performer for Williamstown, and said that as things turned out last year with all the controversy around David Teague, it wasn't a great environment. What did he treated harshly, Mick Gibbons? Should he have got more of a go, do you think? How did you rate him?
I still don't think his AFL opportunity is done, by the way. I think there'll be a club that will take him, whether it be if he has to wait to the preseason, if he gets a train on spot, because what he was able to do and where he came from in his time at the Blues was fantastic. I was surprised by the fact that he didn't get offered a contract. I'm pretty sure at some point throughout the season, Jay, there may have been a contract on the table too. So really? Whether or not that was, you know, removed from whichever way that happened. But, yeah, I think it caught quite a few people off guard. And, you know, for him to come out and to speak openly, you know, I'm all for that. I think that's the best policy in these situations. And, you know, he's just reaffirming what we all thought. It was a bit of a debacle down there. Obviously, the internal review for him to say that, you know, there was people walking around on eggshells and whatnot. There's no surprises there. It's not a great feeling at any stage. And when the Blues weren't winning, obviously situation with David Teague at the end, it would have been a place you wouldn't want to have gone to work to every day.
It's a good point, Daisy. Premierships, as you know, are hard to win at the best of times. When things are going well, it is hard to get to the last weekend of September, let alone when the environment's fracturous or there is some tension there. You just know you're not going to get the best out of your crew. Wrapping up, mate, you've been sensational today. Jordan Dawson, that deal always loomed as the most difficult to do. That's going to go down the wire, we think. I reckon the future first-round pick that Adelaide gained from Melbourne. So you think Melbourne next year going to be a top four team. That should be a pick between 15 to 18. That with maybe a little bit of icing sugar on top, Daisy, with a little pick shuffle that favours Adelaide, I think could get that deal done. I think that Sydney's Jordan Dawson, despite meeting with John Longmire recently about potentially staying, he should be headed to the Crows. Do you think, is he a star midfielder already, or is he worth a top 15 sort of pick?
Right as it stands now, I wouldn't declare him a star midfielder. He's certainly got the attributes, and he's on the right trajectory to get there. But from what I've seen so far, I wouldn't declare him as that. Do I think he can get there? Absolutely. He's a beautiful kick of the footy. He reads the game well. He uses it well. He's that old-fashioned sort of 70-meter player, which you need. Penetrating kick, runs at 20, kicks at 50. He will be a fantastic get. But again, this is another one with the players wanting to leave so frequently and explore their options. Clubs are now getting a little bit of the power back and saying, hey, well, unless we get what we think you're worth, they declared him as the best talent in this trade period, they just don't roll over anymore.
Yeah, it's certainly got to be interesting, mate. And lastly, the big ruckman, Peter Adams from Port Adelaide, is officially nominated Sydney. They have picked 31, which I sort of thought would have been around the mark, but Port Adelaide wants something better than that. So maybe 31, and then again, some pick shuffles which favour Sydney might be about right. He's a good, honest ruckman, is he not, Peter Adams? He may not have a whole lot of tricks, but he can work hard. He gets around. I feel like he's going to be a reliable contributor for the Swans should he get there.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because Port Adelaide have told him to explore his options and look around and then say, no, what we think, what we're willing to be offered for you isn't enough. So they want their cake and they want to eat it too. I think he's probably a touch more than what you've just described him as. He has the ability to go forward. He was pretty good throughout that. Still a youngish player finding his way too. So if he can find a home in Sydney, I'm sure they'd be certainly happy to have him up there alongside Tom Hickey, who they've rejuvenated into an absolute running machine, goal-kicking ruckman. Buddy as well, we don't know that he'll be managed throughout his time up there, throughout the seasons coming as well. So to have someone like Peter Laddams as a second fiddle, third fiddle, or just a backup forward ruck, it's a really nice prospect.
Oh, it's certainly going to be fascinating. A very interesting final 48 hours ahead of this trade period. Of course, it all finishes on Wednesday night with still some movement to happen. It's been Daisy Thomas, the former Carlton and Collingwood superstar, and Jay Clark with you on Triple M's AFL Trade Tracker. Thanks to Bosch Power Tools. We'll catch you next time.
Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker Podcast.
They're both heading in different directions.
Tradies, it's time to cut the cord with the new 18-volt bi-turbo brushless range from Bosch.
Backed by an industry-leading 6-year warranty guarantee.
To keep up with all the AFL trade news, follow Triple M Footy on Facebook and Instagram.